Here last week, the title of this series is Things Have Gotten Bad. And I told the church last week that when I emailed this sermon series to Val so that she could have the verses and all that kind of stuff, she got really nervous because the subject line said, Things Have Gotten Bad. And she thought I was talking about her. But yeah, no, I wasn't at all. It was just the title. And you'll see, we talked about last week how things in this young church in this city of Thessalonica that was surrounded by pagans, they had come under persecution because the Jews there had alarmed the Roman people and the Roman government about what they were doing and saying that they were rebels against Caesar. And persecution had come because of their faith. Things had gotten bad. And Paul had reminded them that the wicked will not go unpunished, and to keep the faith because they were proving themselves worthy of being called a Christian, and that one day God was going to set all things right in his kingdom. So all that happens in chapter 1. So if you want to turn to chapter 2 of this short book, 2 Thessalonians, it's right after 1 Thessalonians, okay? How many of y'all remember the story of Chicken Little? You remember that one, right? Here's a picture of there we go. This is a picture of an illustration of one of the earliest written accounts of this story, but it actually started hundreds of years ago as an oral story that was passed down from generation to generation, and it was first printed in 1823. And if you don't know this story, Chicken Little is pecking around in the woods, and an acorn, or as some people say, acorn, an acorn fell and suddenly hit it on the head. And Chicken Little is startled, and she's shaking, and she cries out, "The sky is falling, the sky is falling." And she races off to warn the king. And along the way, she meets Henny Penny, and Ducky Lucky, and Goosey Lucy, and Turkey Lurkey. And one by one, they listen to her frantic story, and they believe every word, and they join her in a flurry of feathers and fear as they hurry down the road. Before long, they meet Foxy Loxy, who slyly offers to guide them to the king. And relieved, the group follows him through the woods and into a dark tunnel, and they're trusting every step of Foxy Loxy, but the shortcut leads straight to his den. And instead of finding safety, they fall into his trap, never getting to meet the king, and never discovering that the sky was never falling at all. And in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, we see a very similar story. In 2 Thessalonians verse 1 and verse 2, Paul tells them, "Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or spoken word, or a letter seeming to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come." See, there's panic going through this church. People were shaken. People were alarmed. And someone was going around and telling this church that Jesus had already come back and that they missed it. And this church was trying to stay calm and stay faithful, but because of their persecution and because of their struggle and their circumstances, they were worried that they had messed up or that they had done something wrong. See, we're all storytellers, right? And we write a story with our lives, and we tell ourselves stories. And when bad things come, we become meaning makers. And that's okay sometimes to look for meaning in the pain. But we also aren't God. And sometimes we stretch the story paper thin. I've told you before that Tori and I like to watch a show called Alone. 10 people are dropped into the Arctic wilderness with 10 items and to see how long they can survive all alone. And some of them have gone up to 80 days, 100 days in the wilderness by themselves with no food, just axes and jackets and all that kind of stuff. But as you hear these people go through weeks and weeks of suffering, cold, hungry, lonely, you can begin to hear them write narratives in their suffering. And this especially happens when they call to tap out. Because these are rugged people, and none of them want to quit. They want to win this $500,000 at the end and bragging rights that they are the greatest wilderness person around. So when they call to tap out, sometimes they have these stories and these narratives that they've told themselves as to why they have quit. For one man, it had rained pretty hard, and that was a sign from Mother Earth that it was time for him to go home. It wasn't that he hadn't eaten for 2 weeks and that he wanted to quit and he was at his limits. No, it was the rain's fault. It was a sign, and it made him tap out. In today's world, you hear people talk about the universe a lot. The universe is telling me to do things. And there was another man that we watched who had killed a squirrel to eat. And then he just got so guilty. He just couldn't kill another animal. And it wasn't the fact that he'd rather eat a hamburger that was a cow that someone else had killed. It was that he was going to leave to save the squirrels. And we tell ourselves these narratives and these stories to make ourselves feel better and to find meaning when there's pain and struggle. And we search for that meaning. For that desire for meaning, sometimes it leaves us vulnerable to tricks and lies and to be pulled away by false prophets. And we need to be careful because sometimes Foxy Loxy is out there looking to trip us up. And whoever was trying to trick the church went as far as writing false letters with Paul's name on them. And Paul says, hey, that wasn't me. And this still happens today. Something happens in current events, and people will go on the news or write a post and spread messages and take the Bible out of context to say that we should all be scared because this is the end. The sky is falling. Why do they do that? Because fear gives people influence. And when we're scared, we want, and somebody's telling us that something is bad that's happening, we want to follow them and listen to them for the solution. But we need to be careful because we might just end up somewhere we don't want to be. Might just be someone trying to lead us astray like Foxy Loxy did with Chicken Little. Paul had taught this church all about the second coming, and he quickly gives them a refresher in the next few verses, but it's not very detailed. It's hard for us to follow because he references what most likely is a much more in-depth teaching that we didn't get to sit in on. And we always have to remember that the Bible was written, these letters, epistles, was written to a people first and foremost, and we get to listen in on the meaning, and we get to apply it to our lives. But firstly, it's written to a people. And we also remember that when the Bible talks about the day of the Lord, that's that moment and that time when God says enough is enough of wickedness and sin, and he brings this current age to an end. And for those that are not followers of Jesus that are covered by the cross, that is a scary day. So verse 2 Thessalonians, we read on. It says, now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by spoken word or a letter that seems to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. We read those two verses and we go on in verse 3. It says, let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes a seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time? So Paul here in these verses is saying, don't be tricked. Don't be deceived. You're going to know when Jesus comes back. It's going to be obvious. And Paul references how he taught the church all about this man of lawlessness. In other words, the Antichrist. And if you remember back when we were going through the book of Daniel, we talked about these things. This is the little horn with the big mouth that mocks God. And all throughout Christian history, people have pointed to people who act like this man of lawlessness, whether that was Belshazzar from Daniel or Antiochus Epiphanes, who killed a pig on the altar desecrated, or Nero who persecuted the Christians, or Napoleon or Hitler or Stalin. And shortly before Paul wrote this letter, the Roman emperor, Gaius Caligula, convinced of his own deity and angry with the Jews over various matters, ordered a huge statue of himself to be placed in God's temple so that they would worship him there in Jerusalem. And there were massive Jewish protests about this. You can imagine how much that offended them. And Caligula's own advisors were not on board with this, but all that failed to dissuade him from this provocative project. And perhaps this is what Paul is alluding to, that they were scared about when he mentions a man proclaiming himself to be God, setting himself up in the temple. And what can you, attribute that type of attitude to except for the attitude of anti-Christ? And we remember, though, we've talked before about in 1 John 2:18 that it tells us that many antichrists have come. And anyone who lifts themselves up on the level of God is antichrist, whether that be Belshazzar or Nero or Hitler. All of them lifted themselves up, and all were brought down by the Most High who rules in the kingdom of man. So yes, just like these antichrists in the past, there are going to be more, and an especially bad one right before Jesus steps in and comes back again. But the point of Daniel and Revelation, and here in 2 Thessalonians for Christians, is not be afraid. The message is always for these glimpses into the future. The message is always to stand firm. Don't be scared. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Don't fall for the tricks of people who try to get us to follow them by scaring us. And they'll say things are getting bad so that we will listen to them and give them influence. And yes, the day of the Lord will come, but only God knows that timing. And we can trust him. And we have a recency bias with all of these things. And we imagine to ourselves that things have never gotten worse. But that's a very short view of history. Look back at the history of the world and see how bad things were for people. And only God knows his timing. Verse 7 tells us that the spirit of lawlessness was already at work back then 2,000 years ago. These are people who reject God and try to challenge his authority and place themselves up as if they were God. Verse 7 says, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he's out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is by activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them strong delusions so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness." These verses tell us that many people are going to be tricked by Satan, evil, false signs, and the spirit of the Antichrist. And they will follow delusions right down into Foxy Loxy's den. They'll reject Jesus to follow man, and they will face, sadly, the consequences of that. But what you're supposed to take as a follower of Jesus here today, as a person that has accepted Jesus Christ and you put your faith on him, what you're supposed to take from that is that Jesus is not shaken in his boots. The victory is already won. And he is sitting back waiting for a time when he knows, and only he knows, that he's going to come back. The world, the flesh, and the devil was already defeated on the cross. And Jesus rose again, beating death, hell, and the grave. And he's alive evermore, seated at the right hand of the Father, because he already won. So when you see things in the news that scare you, hold on, stand firm, do not be afraid. God is at work, and we are to work, for the time is coming. It's not time for us to sit back and to be scared and say, I don't know what to do. God's already told us what to do. To love your neighbor and to preach the gospel and to be in the community and to point to Christ. You don't stop and sit back because times are bad. You run into the darkness with the light to point to Jesus. So Paul encourages them to have faith and stand firm, not to be tricked by those that will pull us away and to distract us. And that's a common thing today. People would love to get you talking about everything but Jesus. They want you to point at enemies, and they want to say, this person's after you, that person's after you, that person's after you. And if you are living in a gospel-filled world view, none of that matters, because Jesus already won. So stand firm. Hold on. Jesus is coming soon, and until then, work, for the night is coming. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 goes on. It says, we ought always to give thanks to God for you. Paul is thankful for this church that despite persecution, despite the fact that things had gotten hard, they still have followed Jesus. Brothers, beloved by the Lord, he gives thanks to them because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. So if you're a person that's a follower of Jesus in the room today, you put your faith in what Jesus did on the cross, then you don't have to be afraid. And yes, there will be struggles. Yes, there will be hard times. But Paul tells us here to stand firm. He also here says, hold to the traditions. Now, that's not nostalgic little events on the calendar or a certain style of doing things. Other versions say it this way, hold fast to the teachings. This is doctrine. This is what you were taught by the apostles through God's word. So as crazy as the world gets, and as your life gets more chaotic, he says, stand firm and stick your nose deeper in the Bible. Stand firm and remember the teachings of the Lord Jesus. Remember what we have learned about Jesus through eyewitness observers of his life, like the disciples and the apostles and the early church. Don't be scared. Don't be tricked. Verse 16. He goes on and says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace and comfort your hearts and establish them, to comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. This church was being persecuted by, for following Jesus. But Paul tells them that they were not alone. Jesus himself, God the Father himself, loved and cared for them. And he is present in their suffering. And they could take comfort and have hope that God would one day set everything right. And in that day, it will be worth it all. And until then, stand firm. And to live out our faith by doing good works and speaking the good words of Jesus. We talked about last week how there's still real persecution going on in churches all around the world, and how we should pray for them and honor them by taking advantage of our religious freedom and to live out our faith out loud. But despite the fact that we're not being pulled out of our homes and thrown into jail for speaking the name of Jesus, we can still learn so much from these churches, like this church in Thessalonica. Namely, to stand firm against comfort, and stand firm against apathy, which distract us, and to hold fast to the teaching of God's word, and to spend time in communion with Jesus, to be in unity as the church, and to live life together, and to be there for each other. We also need to be careful that when we struggle and we get scared, to make sure that we don't believe lies searching for meaning. Life is long, and as life goes, things change. And as things change, we get uncomfortable. And as we get uncomfortable, we get scared. And as we get scared, we look for reasons. And we look for why. But none of that matters. What matters is that we stand firm. And we hold fast to God's word. And we put our faith in the one that never changes. And we know that he is here with us in the struggle. We should allow our sufferings to push us deeper into the arms of our Savior. And Jesus is coming back. And God's kingdom will be established. But beware false prophets that tell us the sky is falling, to try and trick the church into following them through fear, in order that they might control us and take advantage of us. Stand firm in God's word. Stand firm in the gospel. So that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul reminds a fearful and shaken church not to panic, not to be deceived, but instead stand firm in the truth that they have been taught. So when this life feels chaotic, believers can trust that God is in control. Christ has already secured the victory. And we are called to keep doing good works and keep speaking the good words of Jesus until he returns and sets everything right once and for all. Stand firm.